All right.
We are the Ohio Writers Guild. Now, for some of you that are just jumping on for the first time, the Ohio Writers Guild is a supportive community of and for Ohio writers. Our mission is to encourage excellent work through peer review, educational programs, and promotional events. As the premier organization for Ohio writers, are you ready for this, Chris? Since 1988.
Wow.
The Guild participates in many community and state events. We sponsor monthly gatherings currently here on Zoom, and we provide encouraging community for Ohio's family of authors. And so that's kind of who we are. And Chris is an Ohio author. So I want to welcome Chris McClure. Now, Chris is an executive leadership coach and author who helps entrepreneurs and executives become leaders that people love to follow so they can attract quality team members and keep them engaged. He is the founder of Lead Life Big LLC, excuse me, a transformational leadership coaching and training company. And he and his wife, Jill, are blessed to live with their three amazing kids near Dayton, Ohio. And I've been over to Dayton to see Chris. It's a great drive from Columbus. And I haven't been to his house yet, but now he's actually at a ball game sitting in his car, and I'm actually in my condo in Florida, in Sarasota. So this is fun that we can just connect no matter where we are. And we want to welcome the folks that are with us. We have several attendees. We have Britt, Jamie, Talia, and Tim already on the call, and others will be joining as we go along. So welcome everyone. You can say hi in the chat if you'd like. If you have any questions, put those in the chat, because I will not be monitoring the Q&A section tonight. I'll just be monitoring the chat section tonight. So Talia says, hey. So everyone, welcome. And we're just going to jump right into it. Chris, I've known you for a while. And what was the first book that you wrote?
So my first book was called The Way to Greatness. I even got my covers here just so everybody can see.
Yes.
And I wrote that and published that in, actually on my birthday of 2019.
Okay.
So September 2019, I published that one. And then, my second one came out about a little bit over 18 months later.
Okay. Cause I have that one. I have a copy of that one. So now your new one is called The Magnetic Leader. Now, why did you write this book? What was this book all about?
Well, so the Magnetic Leader really came about. I've been a leadership student for a long time, you know, more like 25 years when I really started to get into personal growth development. Leadership books were kind of the thing that I really gravitated to. And I knew that one day I wanted to write a book. I didn't know what it would be about necessarily. But as an executive coach and just working with people and just really starting to kind of figure out my own philosophy of leadership, this book really came into play for me. Was, you know, these essential actions, I call them, that really help people become the kind of leaders that people do love to follow because of how they are taking action. It's not just about theory. It's really about what are you doing, you know, in your day-to-day leadership, your relationships with your people. And I just found it to be something that as I was working with my clients, as I was continuing to grow myself, that these are the things that really stuck out to me as key factors that I saw in leaders that people love to work with and stay with, as well as I realized they're the kind of thing that made clients and customers want to stay with people as well.
Well, most of the folks that are tapping into this call are actually authors. So give us a little bit of background before we jump into more about the book itself. What kind of struggles did you have trying to author these two books? You're married, you've got kids, you're working a job. I mean, how in the world did you find time to write? And how you know, did you have a system in place or what did that look like for you?
Well, that's a great question. That's the type of thing that when I started writing, I actually have another book that I haven't published yet. And I did it. I started it completely the wrong way. And that's why it never went anywhere.
Okay.
But our mutual friend, Mark Williams, and I, he really helped me understand the power of an outline and really doing the upfront work of really getting my thoughts organized at the front end, because that's where I'm an action taker. So for me, I'm like, and I am a writer too. So I was like, I'm just going to start writing the book. but I hadn't organized my thoughts. And so the struggle for me early on was slowing myself down, strategizing what I wanted to write about, how to organize it, so that then when I did sit down to write, finally, it would be, you know, it would all be linked together and make sense, and it would be easier to write. So what you asked about the system, I did have a system, or I do have a system that I kind of implement now in all my writing that I didn't know I needed back then. But through these two books, I wrote my first book after I did my outline. It took me about, I estimate about 10 hours working with Mark as my writing coach, and he ultimately became my editor. We spent about 10 hours together on Zoom like this, hashing through the outline and wordsmithing the chapter titles and the section titles. So it was a very robust outline by the time I wrote. But when I did, by the time that was done, I wrote my book in 30 days. And
why? Okay, yeah, now, and how many hours were you like writing a day?
Yeah, so and so at the time I was working a full-time job. And so what I was doing was writing about 90 minutes every morning before I went into work. And the key though for me was knowing that I had that outline together and knew what I was going to sit down in my chair and write about that day. I could sit down, knew what I was going to do. And I actually printed out like a paper calendar, and I had jotted down there chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, all the way through. It's a 25 chapter book, 5 sections. It was, you know, kind of, it was organized in a way that I could just get it done within those 30 days. But it was basically so 30 days of an hour and a half of writing per day. And I got the manuscript done.
Wow. Okay. That's very inspirational for all of us that are listening that are in the middle of writing books. Yes. So,
I was going to say, the caveat that may sound, so my second book, I got done in 14 days by doing the same thing.
Wow. Okay. If you have any questions for Chris, just put them in the chat. Cause this is amazing. Now, as far as your outline, as you were putting together your outline, how did you get the ideas for each chapter or section or whatever in the outline? Did you already kind of have an idea of how you wanted it to flow?
The first book I didn't. I knew that I had 5 categories, the 5 sections I call my 5 choice. They're called 5 choices. And so each of those 5 choices then have 5 action steps that fall into that category. So I knew what I wanted to write about, but I just had to do the thoughtful work of, okay, to accomplish this goal of doing this choice and making this repeatedly over and over, which is the point of the book, I had to think about what step by step, what would it take to do that? And so that was the thoughtful upfront process of really work that was included in that 10 hours of just kind of grinding through. Now the second book was a little bit different because I have 18 chapters and it's an acrostic for magnetic leadership is the acrostic. And I had already kind of developed the ideas. And by doing that, it wasn't the same type of, I don't have sections, you know, it's just 18 chapters that are, they're interconnected, but they're not dependent on each other. So it was like writing 18 independent chapters. So that was a little bit different than the first book, but it was still the same type of thing. You know, I knew I had a chapter and I had subsections, and I just, once again, it was the outline and breaking it down into the basic core ideas of what I wanted to write about. Then I could just flow with the writing.
Okay, so the big takeaway here is definitely work on an outline first, because that keeps you on task and on target for getting to the end of the book. So yes, I appreciate that. I can see where that was very, very helpful for you. Now you're working a full-time job, you're doing this writing. Did you ever get discouraged in there and think, I'm not gonna, why am I doing all this?
You know, for me, the discouraging, I was excited about the manuscript writing. What I didn't understand just as a first time author was that once you write the manuscript, I used to think, well, I'll write the manuscript and I'm done. Right. But I realized, no, there's so much more to getting the book edited and then ultimately, you know, getting the cover design and getting it uploaded in the right places and making sure it was available.
Well, you've got the inside covers and you've got the back cover and you've got,
the back end. Yeah.
Oh yes. You've got all of that to go yet.
Yep. Yep. So that was probably my key takeaway is like, I write a lot of blog articles. I've been blogging on my websites for about 5 or 6 years. Writing a blog has been easy to me, but once again, it's putting it on and there's no cover design. There's no editing really. that at that level. And so I think for me, it was that process of realizing the manuscript gets you to basically the halfway point. And then after that, there's so much more to do. But having a great editor, and I think that's the key to this, is making sure you have a great editor who truly understands you, your voice, what you're trying to do. Because like I said, you know, Mark, who's been my editor, he was with me from the beginning with the outline through the end of the process, right? So he knows, even when he was editing, he was more than just an editor that suggests edits. He knew, I gave him permission in his editing to change things as he went, that's knowing my voice of writing. And he did a brilliant job of that. And I know that's not everybody, like there's different types of editing, you know, and line editing and developmental editing. And I didn't even know all that, you know, until later. Right. I was like, oh. So I think for me, a key was having a great editor who got me, who understood and was truly involved in the process. And I know that that's not everybody's story, but it's been mine and it makes my job a lot easier as an author.
Wow. That's very inspirational, though. That helps a lot. And I'm sure that helps a lot that are on the call. We have a couple more folks that have joined in. Again, please comment in the chat box. I will not be monitoring the question and answer box this evening, just the chat box. Let's go back to the book, The Magnetic Leader. That's the second book. Now, you've already published, am I right?
Yeah. I published that one at the end of August, or April this year of 2021.
Okay. So when you were writing these books, both of them, were you always thinking about how you were going to monetize these books, like turning it into coaching and turning it into something that you could monetize from the very beginning?
Yeah, it really was for me. It was, I'm a coach at heart. I mean, that's what I do. And honestly, my books, especially my first book, I think the second one is there too, but my first book, I tell people, it's a thin paperback. You know, you can get the hard copy as well, but it's really a coaching book. So somebody said to me, I picked up that book thinking it would be a quick read, and it wasn't, because I ask a ton of questions in it. So mm-hmm. It really is designed that, you know, if you never, you know, if we never work together as a coaching relationship, that this book is going to, you know, basically make you get out a pad of paper and a notebook. In fact, I had one of my first beta readers, she said to me, she said, Chris, you got to create a workbook for me, because you've got so many good questions in here that I need to process through, and having it in just the, you know, the book form isn't going to mm-hmm. work for me enough. So I actually create a digital workbook that people can download. And, you know, it's a writable PDF if you want to just do it on your computer, or you can download it. And I basically pulled all the questions out of the whole book and just basically just laid it out the same way as the book, but just with those questions so people could utilize. But so that was kind of my thing, was I could sell the workbook as an upsell. I could coach through the content. I could do workshops. I actually did a webinar with a company on the mindset section of this just a couple months back this summer. And that was a learning process too, right? I mean, a lot of authors think I'm going to write my book, right, and I'm going to sell books, and we don't understand that really you need to build a business around the message or the content through coaching, speaking, you know, training and all that, which there's so much opportunity that I think a lot of us just don't see.
I agree with that. But I was just wondering, from the very beginning, you had in mind that you were definitely going to monetize.
Yeah. I went into it knowing that this was like my philosophy. So my first book is more of a life coaching book. It's faith-based life coaching book. The second book is a leadership development book. So, you know, right out of the gate, I knew that I'd be doing a course, and because each of these, I have a video course, each of these, I have workshops I can do, you know, I can speak on this. And so I knew that from the beginning, that wasn't secondary as a thought that I just kind of came up with later. And it changed, that does impact the way you write too.
Yes, I know it does. That's why I wanted to bring that up early on in our interview. So now tell me again, you published your first book. What was the date of your publish?
That was September 6th of 19. And then my second was April 30th of 2021. So
okay.
About a year and a half apart.
Now, are you still working a full-time job, or have you made the leap?
So both, actually, even probably since you and I met, you know, I was a full-time pastor when I wrote the first book. I leaped and had my business coaching full time. And just recently, I still have my business. I'm still coaching, but I'm also added to that. I'm working at our local chamber of commerce, helping other businesses with their promotion and marketing. I'm doing operations to help support our local business community in Beaver Creek where I live. So I've got multiple balls spinning. So, you know, my mornings are sacred times to write and do certain things because I am busy with either clients or doing, you know, the chamber job during the day.
See, I didn't know you were doing the chamber. Now I have, you know, I have rental properties and our local chamber actually rents space in one of my commercial buildings. So
yeah,
and I've been on the board and all, you know, so I get it. Yeah. So I've worn different hats at the chamber as well. So, gosh, that's a great place for you. Because it's just right in line with what you're doing. So now let's go back to the Magnetic Leader. Tell us what this book is actually about and who is this book for?
Yeah, I really wrote this book, even with the cover design, everything. My vision of it was that this would be a reference guide for business owners, entrepreneurs, executive level, senior level leaders, to be a reference guide and reminder of how to behave or act as a leader on a daily basis. And so that's the target audience. And each of these 18 essential actions, first of all, I'm an action oriented guy. So that's just who I, you know, I'm a get it done guy. And so I don't think in theory or academic necessarily. I appreciate people who think, you know, along those lines, but I have to go, okay, well, how do I apply that? And so this book is really very action oriented. A lot of, you know, even every chapter has a three-step process of how to live out each of these essential actions in your daily work and life. And so that's how it's written. That's who it's for. And it's really something that my goal is to just get it in the hands of leaders. So because it's character-based, it's a lot of it is who you are before what you do. And so it's about action, but it's coming out of a place of strong character.
Okay. So you kind of answered why we should read the book. Tell us about these 18 essential actions.
Yeah. Like I said, so they're things that I have either observed or tested, you know, I've tested all of them in the sense of how I've lived them out. But there are things that I've seen in leaders that I've admired and learned from and seen consistency. There are also things that, even in the introduction, I talk about, you know, I've learned a lot of lessons from leaders I quit following or didn't want to follow anymore, or maybe never wanted to follow because of what I saw. They were basically the antithesis of these 18 essential actions. And so for me, it's helping people get a perspective. It, you know, a lot of it's based on servant leadership. You know, it's about loving your people. I mean, that, you know, sometimes people ask me in interviews, you know, what's your favorite one of these 18? And that's hard as an author of, you know, picking your favorite. It's like picking your favorite child. But number 9 in the book is loving your people. And I talk a lot about truly caring for people, even that not like a spouse relationship, not like a family necessarily kind of relationship, but that caring for their best interests, their well-being. And so truly loving them from that place and so then you serve them. And so I talk about giving generously. I talk about, you know, having nobility in how you act. And so they're all very action oriented, but they're things that it's not something that you do once and you just say, okay, I checked the box.
Right.
It's really, it's habits, it's behaviors, and that's why I wanted to make it kind of a reference guide that would be on a desk of an executive or an owner, because it's one of those things where some, you know, in the pressure and the stress of life, we can get off course easily and kind of quit being who we want to be. And
right.
So these are actions, you know, that basically are reminding you of how to stay the course and live that out.
I love this. Now, you include sections at the end of each chapter called Jesus, the Ultimate Magnetic Leader. Why did you include that in a leadership book that maybe isn't specifically intended for a Christian audience?
Yeah, and actually that kind of came about, that was a surprise to me, honestly. I as I was writing this, I never intended this to be a faith, you know, based book like my first one. You know, I've got scripture references and things in the first one. This one, that wasn't my initial intent. I was going to actually, as the idea came, I thought, well, I'll maybe make an appendix about each of these. And then I felt very led to make them just the last section of each chapter so that they're not looked over. You know, because sometimes when you get to the end of a book, you don't really go to the appendix. You don't really look at the end notes, you know, stuff sometimes as a reader. And so that's why I added them at the end of the chapter. And even in the introduction, I tell my readers, if you're not a faith-based person, if this isn't something you care about, then you can skip those easily. But as a believer myself, as a former pastor, as somebody who operates my business from a Christian perspective, and I feel like very compelled to add this because I believe that Jesus was the ultimate leader that modeled all these things. And that's why there's been this worldwide global movement of Christianity for 2,000 years, even after his death, you know. So it's because of how he led and acted in his daily life with his closest followers, his disciples, and then that bled over, you know, and multiplied. So that's why I added that was, you know, I understand that not everybody that's going to read this book is going to have that. And as you read the main content of the chapter, there's not scriptural references and everything. But I wanted to make sure that that wasn't missed either, that there were direct instances where Jesus lived these out as a model for us.
Well, I'm sure as a pastor, previous pastor, I'm sure that you were studying and practicing a lot of these essential actions already, but as you were writing the book, were there any surprises? Was there anything that popped up that you went, oh, I might need to work on that one?
Well, the one that really, I would say, is a challenge to write, was a challenge to write, and it still is one of those actions that I'm still trying to get my mind around, is about insight. And initially it was going to be about intuition, and it was that it's about that gut feeling, that how you lead and trusting your intuition, but it turned into trusting your insight because Mark and I, we did this word study as we were going through this, and we realized that this was a bigger issue than we thought. And that intuition, I go into this in the chapter, and I don't want to confuse anybody, but intuition is more of there's external things that kind of reveal themselves and make you sense something. Whereas insight is something that's totally internal. You don't know where it came from. You don't see any evidence of something, but you have to trust that internal insight that you have. And it's basically only proven right by the results, you know, afterwards. And so, you know, we hear a lot about trusting your gut. We hear a lot about that kind of, you know, and I think that's true, and it's valuable. Insight's just deeper, and it's something that I, you know, from a spiritual perspective, I think it's something God gives us more than it's something that we even perceive out externally. But that was one that really, I would say, jumped out of me in the process, because some of them, like one of the actions is giving generously, you know, that's right. Something that I see a lot of people doing. So that was more of a no-brainer. This trusting insight really kind of came because of a client of mine. She is very insightful, very intuitive in her leadership, and doesn't understand, like she had to learn to trust it, because she would say things like, I feel like something's off. I don't know what it is. And she wouldn't speak up. Okay. And then regretted that she didn't speak up later. And so she's my actual, because at the beginning of every chapter, I have a story about an instance, a person who modeled this, you know, like, yeah, at the end, it's about Jesus. But at the beginning, it's about a real life person today that I'm, you know, actually witnessing and watching their life. And she's my client who I've seen that with. And so it was her that kind of inspired that and also made me dig deep in it. But once again, it kind of came out of an angle that I wasn't expecting.
Interesting. That's very interesting. And then that one you had to kind of struggle to get through as far as.
Yeah, it was the last chapter. Yeah, even though it wasn't the last chapter in the book, it was really the last chapter of getting really honed, because we kept wrestling through how to communicate this in a way that people really understand it. And a lot of the other ones were just easier and quicker to write, and, you know, and really develop. That one was a little bit tougher because it took a little more, just deeper research and getting it honed in.
How much research do you think you did overall to put the second book together?
Well, in current day time, not a lot of research, like sitting down and studying things. But on the other hand, it's been my entire life.
Okay, right. Okay, I get it.
It's been more of a it's more like that cumulative effect of really just watching, observing, living it out. And so I didn't have to go and do a ton of research on anything necessarily, other than maybe some facts and figures on some stories and things, just trying to make sure I had my you know, details accurate, but yeah, it was really that lifetime, or at least in my adult life, of really growing as a leader, observing, reading, and studying myself. So yeah, which made it easier to write, honestly, because I had already done that previously.
Okay.
But I know that some people, that's the caveat I always tell people. I wrote these books quickly because they weren't research heavy books. Whereas I know other people may spend a year researching certain topics before they ever really can write. And that's just not the type of books these are that I've written. They're not research intensive like right now. They're more things that I bring up that I've witnessed or lived out.
Okay. How did you come up with that title, The Magnetic Leader?
Yeah. So John Maxwell is one of my favorite authors, and he's been a mentor from a distance as a leadership author and speaker for all my adult life. And his law of magnetism is kind of the seed that really kind of triggered this for me was, you know, and that law and his 21 laws of leadership is about who you are is who you attract. Okay. And so I had a lot of it. I've been teaching for years and talking a lot to a lot of people that we need to focus on our being before our doing. You know, we're human beings, not human doings. And so our being is about the character and who we are as a person. The doing is the actions we actually do, right? So with that in mind, and then with Maxwell framing that in who we are is who we attract, it really made me think about, well, as a leader, what are the things that truly do attract people to you? And as a salesperson, even this says magnetic leader, but it could be the magnetic salesperson, honestly, the magnetic parent, the magnetic spouse, you know, or, you know, kind
oh
of thing.
Oh my gosh, because, you know what? You could have a whole series, you know, like the five love languages. It could be the five love languages for the team, for the parent, for the boss, for the employee, or.
Yeah, the chicken soup for the soul series, right?
Yes. Yeah. So you can have a whole series.
Yeah. And that's actually something I have thought about as I was writing it. And, you know, you think about beginning with the end in mind and I think there's just a little bit of adjustment that could make that reality, I think, which is fun to think about for the future. But it did come from that idea of, you know, I use the illustration. I love when I'm teaching, I have a stack of magnets and, you know, the one side, they stick together, right? But you flip one over and there's that polarization. They won't stick together. They repel each other. And that's kind of the idea for me is, you know, if you're a magnetic leader, you want to be the kind of magnetic leader who is attracting, not repelling, because there are plenty of leaders out there that repel good people. And so if you want to attract and you want to, especially in the workforce, you know, a lot of people talk about retention and keeping, you know, not just finding the right people, but keeping the right people on their team and their organization. And so that's really the heart of that whole magnetic idea is being that kind of leader who attracts them. And is able to retain them on your team long term because they really want to be with you because of who you are and how you behave.
Yes, I certainly can understand that. That's wonderful. I can also see where the essential actions could also maybe help in parenting.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's skills to teach your kids. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. Now, did you have a big aha moment as you were writing this book? And is there any one big thing that was a big aha for you?
I think on one hand, it's the idea that it's simple, but not easy. You know, is anytime I tell people I'm a simple guy. I write in simple ways. I'm not trying to, you know, I've got a college degree and I'm well educated in the sense of, you know, well read and everything. But I just realized more and more how if we don't have practical application and you don't implement, you don't do it, then you're not going to ultimately have the results that you desire. And so for me, I don't know that it was a big aha as much as reinforcing the fact that, you know, these things are simple to understand maybe, or simple to even do once, but making them habits, making them things that, you know, you're consistent about. There's a chapter, Kathy, in here where I talk about knowing your core values and why they matter so much. And I realized I was risking something because I shared my core values in this book that I've had on my website, but you can erase that page or change those, right? Like,
Right.
By putting them in a book, they're kind of like in there forever. And so I realized I actually had a client where we talked about that, you know, it felt risky to me to put my core values out there, because here's the thing, anybody that reads my book and understands what I say my core values are, if I'm not living up to them, I have an accountability because I'm the author that wrote the book and shared those. Right.
Right.
So I had to kind of have some courage, I think, to put those in there. And I had to talk myself into it, but I felt like if I don't do this, they may not understand the point of what I'm trying to make here and why mm-hmm. they matter so much. So that was a big part of the process, was kind of putting myself out there a little bit more, because it's easy to hold back in a lot of ways as an author, I think, and get, you can go 90% of the way and it's good, but that last 10% can kind of be scary sometimes.
Yes, it can. What's the benefit for people that are reading this book? What is going to be their biggest takeaway, do you think?
I think it will be, it'll make them think, because at the end of every chapter, I also have four questions. And basically, one is, who has modeled this for you, so that you can have a point of reference and how you're thinking about each of these actions. Another question is, you know, what did they do to make that impression? So what were their actions that actually, from a very specific standpoint? Another question is, how can you implement this action into your leadership this week? So as you're reading it, you're thinking about, okay, as I go to this meeting, as I have this call, as I go visit this client, whatever. And then the fourth question is, who will you share this with and by when? So it's making people think about not just taking in and learning and even applying themselves, but also passing it along. Because, you know, I actually ordered a set of the Russian nesting dolls today, Kathy. I was thinking about this morning. You know how each one, there's like a smaller one inside, you know, all the way down, there's like maybe five dolls, it's tiny. And that principle of, you know, if you don't hire or engage with people who are bigger than you, then your company, your organization keeps shrinking. And so if you have to be the biggest doll, so to speak, and be the top dog, and you're trying to hire people or bring people on your team that are less than you, then you're actually doing damage to your organization. But if you look at yourself as like the smallest doll, and you're trying to keep bringing in bigger and bigger people and developing them to be bigger, then that makes your organization better, your team better. And it doesn't mean that you're not worthy. I mean, I actually had somebody one time tell me that they were basically afraid of losing their job if they trained other people. And I said, no, actually, it's the opposite. If you don't equip and train the people that that we're asking you to, that's going to make you lose your job, because when you train people, you're invaluable to us. You can replicate yourself. And when that clicked with her, she became the best employee that I've ever been around. And I loved her growth, because she understood, instead of protecting her turf, she was training, equipping, releasing people to do a job. And she built a great team, and she did a great job. And, you know, when she did leave, she left, you know, for a new opportunity, and it was fine. But I was super proud of her for where she had grown. And then she took that to her next organization, and I saw her flourish there. So it was just a mindset thing about that. But so the question, so really the application for readers is really do the work of answering those questions, because it's easy to skip over those parts sometimes as a reader.
I think you need a workbook for this one too.
Well, thankfully I put enough space. I think there's four questions on the page. Now people may need a separate sheet, but I think that they'll have a good starting point this time.
Okay. Well, listen, we still have some folks with us, so please put your questions in the chat, anyone that has any questions for Chris. And Chris, tell us, how can we connect with you?
Yeah, so a few ways. Honestly, the easiest way, I actually created a hub website. It's just chrismcclure.me. And if you go to that website, it links you to, I have two other websites. One is based on my first book, that you can see my book there. You can see, you know, my other resources there as well. You can see the book trailer about that book and how to connect. Also, so that's really the easiest way. It also gives you my social media links.
Is it chrismcclure.me?
.me, yep, okay. Yep.
I wanted to make sure. I put that in the chat for everyone, and I wanted to make sure that was correct.
Yep.
And then how can we get this book or both your books? How can they order right from your website, or do they need to go somewhere else?
Yeah. So when they go to that website, at the very top, it has my book. So you click the link and it'll take you to the sales page on those. They're on Amazon as well, or Barnes & Noble, you know, if they want to go there and instead of just ordering directly. My executive coaching website, I actually have the domain of magneticleaderbook.com. And so when you go to that, there's my video trailer. And what I did, Kathy, on that one, this is an idea maybe for people to think about. I had the idea of doing little video vignettes of each of these 18 essential actions that basically I dripped them 18 days leading up to my launch. It's magneticleaderbook.com.
Sorry about that. Okay.
No, you're fine. Just want to make sure people, so I did these little 2 to 4 minute video vignettes, kind of just talking about each of these essential actions. And so I did those for social media. And then I thought, you know what, I'm going to put this on my webpage for my book so people can get a glimpse of that. So if you want to just kind of listen to me share a little bit more about that on video, those are at that magneticleaderbook.com page as well. So that was fun. I thought that was a great, I'm sure it wasn't an original idea. I probably saw somebody do something, but I thought this could be a way to drip out the, kind of build that anticipation as an author, help people understand what's coming. And I got good feedback from that. And so that's something maybe, the authors listening would do.
I love that. So how many that are listening are currently either a published author or you're in the process of writing a book? Just type in the chat. Just say me so that I know if you're an author or if you're currently writing a book, and I will put me in there. Anyone else in the audience? They might all just be listening this evening. They might not be where they can.
Tim says he is too.
Aha. Yes. Tim says me too. Okay. Very good. Very good. Yeah, okay. Yep. Jamie. Okay. All right, so we've got some authors. So so that is good information. So as an author, what should our biggest takeaway be this evening, Chris? Put together an outline.
I was going to say, to me, that's my biggest takeaway of this process that I've learned. And I tell people, there's anything that I would say, there's a lot of moving parts for sure that you have to go through, right? But doing that upfront work will pay you dividends over and over and over again later. And so it's painful at times. It's taxing. I mean, Mark and I laugh, that how often I wrestled with him over the wordsmithing and the first book. And by the second book, because we had done that together and we had worked through one book together, he's like, you were so much easier to deal with the second time around, because there were still things I probably wrestled with and resisted at times. And we really kind of had to hash out wording and things, but I got it. I understood it. And so I think that's a big takeaway is doing that hard work of upfront, because then when you sit down to write, and I know that nonfiction and fiction, there's a difference there, and I'm not a fiction writer, so I can't speak from that angle at all. There's a whole nother level, I'm sure, with character development and plots and all that. So that's not where I'm coming from. But even within that, I think that there is, it's very similar in the sense of you still need to do that upfront work of really outlining your ideas and making sure you understand where the story is going to go. The other thing I think, so there's that, the outline. And I think just really realizing that it's a process, and be kind to yourself, because it can be brutal and you're going to have bad days, and you're going to have days where you don't feel like writing. And, I was actually just listening to a multi-time New York bestseller today on an audio. And he was saying, for him, it was about, sitting down every day and doing the writing. He goes, you might throw out the first hour of what you wrote, but you just have to build that discipline of writing. And that's hard. That's not fun when you're not feeling it, but you have to start and take action in order for the emotions of feeling it to follow. So I think a lot of it is that just persevering and not beating yourself up because you didn't get it maybe as far as you wanted to today or this week or whatever. And realizing that, a lot of authors will say, 1 to 2 years is a typical time frame for them to get their books out. And that's the ones that are really like, you know, well versed in the process.
Yeah. That good information, Chris. Great inspiration, good information. I really appreciate you coming on this evening. This has been great. I know I kind of took you away from your ball game there for a moment, but I'm so glad you came on. You've inspired me, I'm sure. I am going to record this, and the replay is going to be, and Chris, I'm going to send you a copy and you'll get all of that. But for those that are listening, I'm going to put the replay in the Kathy Benner International Academy, and just scroll down to, you know, the free meetups there for the Ohio Writers Guild, and all of our replays on all of the authors that we've interviewed are there, all of their tips and tricks and hacks and ways to help you get your book published sooner is all in there. So visit us at Kathy Benner International Academy. I'm going to put that in the chat as well. I always have to stop to spell international.
That's right. It's a big word.
Yes. So just check out the Kathy Benner International Academy. You can Google us. It'll come right up. And then scroll down on that homepage right to the Ohio Writers Guild. And it's all of our free replays are right there. So with that, Chris, thank you so much. I've got one little bit of interesting information. John Maxwell was my pastor when I was 13 years old.
Wow.
So that's how I know John Maxwell.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's awesome.
Anyway, that's just on a little side note. So thank you everyone for coming. I appreciate you being here this evening. And Chris, I will get all the replays directly over to you.
All right. Thanks so much. It's been fun.
Thanks everyone. Bye.